We look at property. Two days ago. So what if that, you know, by then, things are, on a way for the farm and that's the way back.
You got it here?
Yes.
I have a tree with us.
Thank you.
let's all stand. We're going to sing Count Your Blessings, which is just the first and the last.
When upon life's billows you're a tempest tossed, when you are discouraged, thinking all is lost, count your many blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord has done. Count your blessings, name them one by one, count your blessings, see what God has done. God had done. So admit the conflict, whether great or small. Do not be discouraged, God is over all. Count your many blessings, angels will attend. Help and comfort give you till your journey's end. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God has.
Good to see you this morning. Glad you stayed in town for Labor Day. And I know everybody's still trying to get their last little vacation in. Or as the new people, as the young people say, vacay. And get in. Sheila sent us a little note. Hello, Christian brethren. God is good and faithful. Most of the people I know are battling personal problems. However, it is comforting to know God is aware. He is with us all throughout. And so she sent us a little note and let us know she's thinking about us. And so let's continue to pray for her. Let's go to the Lord in prayer and ask God to bless today. Boy, we've had some great weeks, 2 weeks in a row, great services, starting with the deaf and then with Brother McKay last week. What a preacher. And just a great family. And we got someone we know well today here, so we'll enjoy that. So let's pray and ask God to bless and speak to us today. Darian, how about praying for us?
Lord, thank you that we're here. Lord, help us to ready our hearts for the preaching, Lord, and take that and apply it to our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. You may be seated.
Understand, but I know.
Receive God's tithes and our offerings. Let's give as the Lord directs, and let's be faithful. Anybody miss a meal this week? Not on purpose? Amen. Amen. Let's pray. Brother Glade, pray, would you?
Dear God, we thank you for another day that you've given us, and help us not to take it for granted, the gift of salvation that you offered everyone. Help us not to take that for granted. We thank you for everyone that's here today. We thank you for your word, how it never changes. I can always trust it. And we gather these tithes and offerings to further your kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Let me mention a couple things. We'll have a lunch afterwards, as we have the first two Sundays. We'll have sandwiches and chips. And anybody bring anything different today? Somebody always brings something different. Brother Keys, what'd you talk her into bringing today?
I was her idea. Cream cheese and olives.
Cream cheese and olives. Okay. That'll work.
Special.
Matter of fact, we need to go out there and hide that. Okay. Amen. Amen. So, We'll have Brother Malpas next week with us. Brother Malpas is operating out of North Carolina with his pilot ministry. And when I called him to ask him to come, he was flying to Alaska. He's flying to all different places and helping missionaries. And so he'll be with us next week. And then we'll have Shannon Lamont and his family with us, and it would be good to see them again. And so be praying for that. Well, it's good to have Dad. Dad, come on and preach to us. And get your Bible.
Well, good morning. Let me ask you to turn in your Bibles, please, to 2 Corinthians chapter 8. And we're going to spend some time talking about faith promise giving today. And I know you're right in the middle of your missions emphasis time, and you'll be a time when you'll be filling out your cards, making your commitments for the coming year. And that's an exciting time. It's great to be in a place where you have the opportunity to give to missions, to experience what it means to fulfill the Great Commission. God has given us a command to go into all the world, preach the gospel around the world. Physically, we can't do that, but He's given us a plan that can be accomplished. God doesn't tell us to do anything that He doesn't show us how to do it. And it's exciting to be involved in missions. I was thinking there for this morning, June and I made our first faith promise commitment to give to missions. In 1968, that was a few years ago. And so 53 years we've been giving to missions. And I was thinking about when we started, you know how God gets involved in our lives and leads us to do something. And it's amazing, it's sort of a three-prong involvement. God speaks to our heart about doing something. And then he lets us decide if we want to trust him, believe him, do what he wants, or refuse to do. And then once we agree with him and make the commitment to do what he wants us to do, then there's a time when God works in our lives in using us, but teaching us. And so we go through that time of doing what we've committed to do, experiencing what God wants to do in our lives. And really, during that time, he proves himself. He attempts to show us how he works, how he performs what he promised he would do if we just agreed with him, committed to do it. And then there's a time when God lets us look back and see his faithfulness. Someone said this morning, I'm doing better than I deserve to do, to be. And that's when God lets us look back and see how he has blessed, how he has worked in our lives. And I know when June and I made that first commitment, and we went through many years that that we did experienced a real difficulty in just fulfilling the commitment, because there's always that growing time. And there were times when we wondered if we were going to be able to give to missions and buy groceries, or give to missions and pay the bills. But then you get on the other side and you look back and you see how God never fails to do what he promised that he would do. And it's a real blessing to be able to do that. But we can't get to that place if we don't make the commitment and let him teach us. And so this is commitment time. God wants to work in our lives in a fresh way, fresh commitment time. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, he shows us how he wants us to do this. Now the setting here is this. The church at Corinth had made a promise to give an offering. They had made a faith promise commitment. We see that in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. And God shows us that commitment. And then now he's writing them a letter. And in this letter, he reminds them of the commitment they made and how they need to fulfill it. And so we see that in 2 Corinthians chapters 8 and 9. What I want to do is just sort of work our way through this as we have time and cover as much as we can during this time, and then we'll wrap it up in that second service. But in this section, keep in mind, he is reminding the church at Corinth of the commitment they made and telling them how to fulfill it. As he begins doing this, he uses the churches of Macedonia as an example. Do you remember the Macedonian churches? Paul in Acts chapter 16 had that Macedonian call and went over into Macedonia. And churches were started in Philippi and Thessalonica and Berea. And he's talking about those churches. And he's using them as an example of what God does to the church at Corinth. So notice with me as we work our way through this, how he does that. In verse 1 of chapter 8, he says, "Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia." Now, that little word wit there has the thought of to know or to understand. And what he's saying to the church at Corinth, he's saying, I want you to realize what took place over in Macedonia. I want you to realize what happened in those churches. And I want you to realize that because you're getting ready to make a decision for yourself, and you need to know how this thing works. But I want you to notice, he says, we do you to wit of the grace of God. You ought to underline that in that portion of Scripture. The grace of God. Because that's exactly how this matter of faith promise giving works. He's talking there about how to give by the grace of God. And if you can grasp what he means by giving by grace, then it makes it much easier to agree with God about the giving he wants to do through our lives. So let's think about that matter of grace. Giving by grace. What does grace mean? How would you define grace? If someone asks you, what do you mean, grace of God? What do you mean by grace? How would you define it? In a way that they could understand it and apply it to their lives personally. Here's what grace is. Grace is God's activity in our lives. Do you remember when you got saved? The Bible says if you're saved, you were saved by the grace of God. For by grace are we saved. What does that mean? That means it's completely of God. But here's how it works. It means there was a time when God reached down in your life and revealed to you your lost condition and your need to be saved. You were not seeking God, but there was a time when he reached down and said, I want to save you, and here's how you're saved. You're saved completely through what Christ did on Calvary. What does that mean? That means it's completely of God. You have nothing to do with it except to agree with God. Agree with his way of salvation. And that's what faith is. Faith is agreeing with God. And so grace is a time that he reaches down and touches us. And he continues that throughout the New Testament. We're not only saved by grace. You go to Titus chapter 2, verse 11. It talks about salvation being available to all men. And then it talks about sanctification by grace, how God wants to change us. And in Titus 2:12, how he changes us from ungodliness to godliness, unrighteousness to righteousness. God changes us by his grace. How does that work? Once you get saved, when God is ready to make a change in your life, he comes to us and he says, okay, that should not be in your life. And once we agree with him, then he begins to work in removing it. This needs to be a part of your life. And once we agree with him, then he begins to put it in our life. And it's a work of grace. It's God's activity. We do not make spiritual changes in our life. God makes spiritual changes. We have no capability of spiritual decisions or spiritual activity. It's completely by the Spirit of God that indwells us. He does that. How does He do it? By grace. God tells us what He wants us to do or not do, and once we agree with Him, then He makes the change. You remember when you got saved? When you got saved, there were just major changes that needed to be made in your life. And you can look back now at how God worked in making those changes. That's an exciting part. That's that part of looking back and seeing how God is faithful when we agree to let Him do it. But we can go on. Paul, in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 7 and 8, Paul talks about how he was called to the ministry by the grace of God. When God was ready to use the Apostle Paul, He reached down and told Paul what He wanted to do. When Paul agreed with Him, then he became active in Paul's life. And you go to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. You remember that thorn in the flesh? Paul didn't like that thorn in the flesh. Told God He'd like him to remove it. But God said, Paul, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. What'd Paul do? He says, therefore, I'm ready for God to make that change and that I might experience the power of God by grace. Now, I say all of that to get us to understand that what he's talking about here in giving is the same experience. In this matter of faith promise giving, it is a work of God's grace. It is giving by the grace of God. So what does that mean? That means God wants to reach down in our lives at His appointed time and tell us what He wants us to give in this matter of faith promise giving. He wants to show us what He wants us to give. That makes it different than any other giving. Hey, you do not have to pray about tithing. Tithing is explained to us, and it's we're told how to do it, how much to give, where to give, when to give, and so you don't have to pray about it. You just do what God tells us to do. But this giving, this matter of faith promise giving, is different than any other. It's a giving that God wants to reach down and say to us, here's what I want you to do. This is how much I want you to give. That's what grace is. God telling us. God doing it. Most of our giving is spontaneous. How often do you pray about how you spend your money? Well, if you're going to make a big purchase or a big decision, you might pray about it. But most of the ways you use your money every day, you never pray about it. When's the last time you went to the grocery store and when you walked in, you said, God, I need you to show me what to buy today? You say, that's foolish. Why is it foolish? Because we're just spontaneous. We walked in there. When I take my wife to the store, I tell her, I say, now, we need to have a list. I don't want her walking down an aisle without a list. I know what that means, right? We're spontaneous. But this is a giving that's not spontaneous. It's a giving that God wants to tell us what to do. So he tells them, hey, this is what the churches of Macedonia experienced. Now, he goes on and he continues to use the churches of Macedonia in these first five verses. Notice what he says in verse 2. Now, he's still talking about those churches over in Macedonia. He says, how that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. Now he's explaining what took place over there because he wants the church of Corinth to understand what they went through. He says, hey, when they gave by the grace of God, they didn't have much, and they were having all kinds of problems. Now, when I'm having all kinds of problems and I don't have much, I really don't want you to talk to me about giving. That's when I'm interested in getting, right? And I think that's what he's telling them here. They gave when they were going through difficult times. Notice how he explains it. He says, how that in a great trial of affliction. Now, what's a trial? A trial is a time when truth is brought out about a situation. Yeah, somebody goes on trial to prove whether they're telling the truth or they're guilty or they're innocent. And so they were going through a trial. They were going through a trial to bring out the truth about how they felt in this area of giving the way God wanted them to give. Now, what was the trial? It was a trial of affliction. The word affliction there has the thought of pressure to suffering. They were under pressure to make a decision. They were under pressure to do what God wanted them to do. Someone said, if you get under pressure, it will make you what you need to be. Well, that's not really true. It will not make us what we need to be unless we agree with what the pressure is all about. Unless we really respond properly to the pressure. But I'll tell you what pressure will do. Pressure will reveal what you are. When we're under pressure, the truth comes out. When we're under pressure, our true character is revealed, right? And that's what God is saying here. They were going through a trial to reveal what they really believed about God and if they would really do what God expected them to do. And it was a time when they didn't have much, a time when they were going through problems, but they responded the way God wanted them to respond. Now, we're not going to have time to look at all that they went through here, but let me read the verses at least. Verse 3, it says, for to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power, they were willing of themselves. That word power has the thought of their ability, their strength to do it. And it said, they didn't just give out of their ability, they gave out of an ability beyond their ability. What was that? That was God's ability. That's what God wants to do. God wants to prove himself in us. And he said in verse 4, praying with much entreaty that we would receive the gift. That word gift there is the same word as grace in this portion of Scripture. And it says, and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. They prayed to Paul. They had to convince Paul that he needed to receive what they were giving. It seems here that, have you ever had somebody want to give something and maybe to you, or you see them giving to something else, and the thought comes to your mind, they really can't afford to do that? Well, that seems to be what's happening here. It seems that Paul's looking at them and saying, they can't afford to do that. But they said, Paul, we need you to take this. That's what that word prayer is talking about. It seems they had to convince Paul to receive their gift and take it. And then in verse 5, and this they did, not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God. So he wraps up that thought about the churches of Macedonia, and then he switches over to speak to the church at Corinth directly. Notice what he says, verse 6, insomuch that we desired Titus, that as he had begun, so he would also finish in you. What does it say? The same grace also. We're sending Titus, sent Titus and some others to receive that offering that you committed to give. And what we want you to do when they come is this. We want you to experience the same grace that the churches of Macedonia experienced. In other words, we want you to do what God placed on your hearts to do. We want you to do what God wants to do in and through you. We don't want you to give something we want you to give. We don't want you to give because of the need. We want you to give because God has said to you, this is what I want you to do. Now he does it again. Look at verse 7. Therefore, as ye abound in everything, in faith and utterance and knowledge, and in all diligence and in your love to us, see that ye abound in what? This grace also. He says, as you grow in your Christian life, as you mature. Now, we know that we ought to be growing in our Christian life, our relationship with God. And that's what he's talking about. Notice what he says. Therefore, as ye abound, as you grow in everything, in faith, in utterance, that is, you're witnessing, you're proclaiming the gospel, you're preaching, and in knowledge, your understanding of the scriptures, your growth in the Word of God, and in all diligence, that is, your activity, your service, your involvement in the church and serving God, and in your love to us, as you grow in all of this, make sure you grow in this matter of giving by the grace of God. So he continues to emphasize that it's a grace thing. Let God tell you what he wants you to do. Let God show you what he wants to do through you. Now think about that. God has a plan for each and every one of us. And he has a plan in this matter of missions giving, this faith promise giving. He has something he wants to do. Not something we can do in our own ability, something he wants to do. And he says, I need you to agree with me to let me do it. I need you to make the commitment. I need you to trust me. Because I've got something that I want to do in and through you that you can't do in your own ability the way you think you can do it. I want to show you my ability, my power, my strength. And that's why we need to understand that concept of grace giving. Now notice the next verse. What he goes on with that grace thing. He says, in verse 8, he says, I speak not by commandment. In other words, Paul's saying, hey, I don't want you to think I'm telling you what to do here. I'm not telling you what you need to do. But by occasion of the forwardness of others, notice what he says, and to prove the sincerity of your love. Now that's the grace thought. The word prove there has the thought of to test. To prove, to test, to try. Now I don't know about you, but I really don't enjoy test. Huh? I can remember going to high school. I did not mind the instruction time. because I could do what I wanted. You know, I could listen or not listen. I could daydream, and that's usually what I was doing. You know, I could daydream about football practice or basketball practice after school, or I could dream about meeting June between classes, and that's what usually was on my mind. I could do what I wanted, but I didn't like the test time. When test came around, the pressure was on, right? That was the proving time. That proved if I listened, if I really cared about it, if I studied, and I really didn't enjoy that. So that's why this grace thing is difficult for you and me sometimes, because it's a test time. When God reaches down and says, I want to do this in your life, that means we have to take our hands off and turn it over to Him. And that's pressure, isn't it? Huh? Logically, we think we can work it out better than God can most of the time. If I do this, surely it'll work out this way. If I make the decision this way, surely it's going to happen the way I have it planned. God said, I want you to take your hands off. I want you to do what I want you to do. I want you to let me have my way in this situation. And that's a test time. What does it do? It proves the sincerity, the genuineness, the legitimacy of our love. Our love for who? For God? For souls? For this matter of missions? Who does it prove it to? Does it prove our love to God? It doesn't prove it to God. God knows our hearts better than we do. God knows how much you love Him. God knows how much you really want to do. God knows more about us than we know. If we have any spiritual awareness at all, it will show us how much we care. Our attitude about this whole thing will show us where we are in our love for God. How much do we really want to do what God wants us to do? How much do we really care? The bottom line is this. Who do I trust? Do I want to do what God wants me to do, or do I want to do what I want to do? Now he wraps all of this up with this next verse and this next thought. Notice what he says here in verse 9. And we know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. What's the example? Christ. Jesus Christ left everything to come to nothing. So you and I, who had nothing, could have everything. Anything we have that's worth anything, anything we have that's right, good, because of our relationship to God through Christ. And he provided for us the grace. He provides for us the understanding of it. He provides us the wisdom to grasp it. He provides for us everything that's needed. Now the question is, who's our authority? Who has the right to tell us what to do? Does God really have the right to tell us what to do? Well, if you go to Psalms 24, you'll find out that He owns everything. Everything. He owns everything. He owns all that we see, and He owns us. He owns us today. And He owns everything you and I have. And it's all there for a purpose of glorifying Him. Our attitude needs to be that we're going to use it the way He wants us to use it. He expects us to use what He's given us the way He wants us to use it. Amen? We had a fellow in our church, came to our church right after I began pastoring in 1972. That'll give you an idea of the time frame. But he came to our church and his family came, and he sat there in the services for a few weeks, and then he came to me and he said, I need to bring my family here because I really like what's happening. He saw people being saved. He saw things taking place. He saw we were running a bus to pick up people. And he got excited about it. And so he brought his family and he started serving the Lord. Now, what he did, he sold storm windows. He hung storm windows for Sears. You remember it was Sears and Roebuck back then, and they did a little bit of everything. They put on decks and remodeled kitchens and they did everything, but they really didn't do anything. They just got the job, and they had subs that they would use to do the jobs, and they would get paid. They would keep some of the money and pay the sub some, and all they did was just make money, taking a job and handing the job to somebody else. Well, he hung storm windows. And we had our first missions conference. And boy, he saw missionaries, heard their testimonies, and realized how we supported missionaries, and he got excited about that. And he came to me and he said, I think I could start my own business and support missions through my business. And God just worked in his life and showing him what he could do. And he said, so we prayed about it. He prayed about it for a few weeks. And he came back after a while and he said, I'm going to do it. So he printed up some flyers and passed them out and started getting jobs. Found him a supplier of storm windows and back then they didn't have the replacement windows at that time. Storm window was a big deal, and so he started hanging these windows and getting these jobs, and he built his business on the Word of God. He wouldn't let his secretary schedule anything during the time anything was going on at church. Nothing interfered with church. Nothing interfered with things at church. And he would start, he tithed off his personal income. He tithed off his business income. And then he started giving to missions out of all of it. And there came a time in that man's life that he personally supported 30 missionaries through our church. Personally supported 30 missionaries. Why did he do that? Because God reached down at his appointed time and said, this is what I want to use you to do. This is what I want to do in your life. And he got a hold of it. And he made the commitment to God that God dealt with his heart about And God did something in his life beyond any ability he had to do it. God did it. And that's what that grace is. That's what God wants to do with all of us. God, you know, maybe not to the extent that he did through that man's life, but God wants to do something in our lives that we have to look back and say, God did that. That was God. I did not do that on my own. And so that's what this is all about. It's about God and what he wants to do. And so I would encourage you, we'll pick this up and with some more thoughts on this in the afternoon, but I want to encourage you, just let God speak to your heart. Let him tell you what he wants. And I'll guarantee you, we cannot make a mistake agreeing with God. Amen? We cannot make a mistake agreeing with God. Just let God have his way. Amen? Let's pray. Father, we thank you now for this matter of grace. Help us to grasp it. Help us to understand it. Help us to get a hold of it. And just let you do what you want. Now, help us with the decisions that you have drawn us to make. And do a wonderful work through this church this coming year in the matter of mission. May it be the greatest year ever in this matter of worldwide evangelization. We pray in Christ's name.
Stand with heads bowed and eyes closed. I want to challenge you. If you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as personal Savior, today is the day to receive him as your personal Savior. And that's where it all began for you that know him. But if you're a member of Faith Independent Baptist Church, you're here and you struggle with this thing of faith promise and you're not completely clear on it, you get that clarity from the Lord because it's a personal decision, just as you receive Christ. And God wants to work through all of us. God wants to be able to work for you to walk past that board in the back and see where souls are saved through the ministries of those missionaries that we support, and for you to say, that's in my account. And so I want to challenge you this morning as the music plays. I want to challenge you, if God's to ask God, let's ask God as a church, each of us individually, whether you come forward or you do business with God at your chair. I want us as a church to ask God, give through me, and God, reveal what you want. And God, help me to see the possibilities from your point of view. God, let me see the big picture. Let me see souls being saved. Let me see churches in the United States in difficult areas started by young men and their families and have a part. God, do something for this 60 years of Faith Independent Baptist Church that you've never done, and help it to begin in me. So as the music plays, as God moves on your heart, you come and get alone with him and ask him to work in your heart in his thing of faith promise missions. Amen. Thank you. Be seated. And get a couple guys to help me move this. Pulpit for me, and we're going to put Dad under the spotlight here. Put a chair up here for Dad. Just move it back here. Move this over here, and just move back here, and give Dad a chair. We're going to ask some questions. All right. Oh, he got that mic on. Yeah, still got that on. He's live. So, what are you doing now, Dad? As far as missions, you were a director at BIMI. Now you're a what are you doing now?
Well, I still preach conferences and still go to the Caribbean, primarily Dominican Republic, and help with the missions there. So that's basically what I do.
You'll be titled as a representative for BIMI?
Yeah, I'm 82 years old, so I don't move like I used to.
Amen. So and you at Independent Baptist Church, you oversee the missions for them, or?
Yes. Yep, I handle the missions, teach a Bible study on Sunday mornings when I'm there. So,
who do you teach on Sunday mornings there? Who's the class?
Well, I have a class. I have a class I teach. Just a yeah, primarily a good number of Asians. Have Filipinos, China, Vietnamese.
So when they go out, when you have a special meeting with them, you eat good, huh?
Yes, we eat good.
Amen. Tell us how you put together a missions budget, how you allocate, how you set up the missions giving for the year, as far as what type of missions.
Well, basic. I can tell you what we do at Independent. Basically, we have. We have our missions. We have a missions account, and it's set up with the regular missions money that we just keep an account of that. And then we have church planting, which is local in our region, around the states. And we have church planters that we support. And so we put in a certain amount every month in that account because they're not supported permanently. They might be supported. They're only supported as long as they need it, starting the church. Then we have one part in that account that we have for projects. Missionaries on the field have a need. Maybe they're shipping materials down. They need property or build a building. We can help out of that. And then we set aside a certain amount for our missions conference. That's basically how we have it separated.
Okay. Anybody have any questions? Somebody got to have some question. Yeah. Go ahead.
How old were you when you surrendered to preach?
When I surrendered to preach, I was 28 years old.
28 years old. Yes, Brother Frank.
Where do you live at now?
Where do I live? I live in Clinton.
Clinton, Maryland, PG County.
We've lived there, and I've been able to do what I've done in missions and remain there. And so we've lived there for 42 years now.
Tell how the how does the support, how does it work, how does that whole thing work with Brother Steve Sidler down there with what he's doing with the other pastors throughout that have come out of his church, the giving there for that.
Well, he as far as how he works in finances with them,
yes,
financially, they those national pastors under that work out of Steve Sidler's, of course, when the missionary starts a church, it's an independent Baptist church. It's self-governing. It's just like you are. No one tells them how to run their ministry. And it's the same way when a national pastor goes out of that church to start a church. Steve Sidler may help them and be there to advise them if they need it, but he does not run their ministries. They start independent Baptist churches, and the national pastor becomes an independent Baptist preacher and pastor. Now, Brother Sidler tries to help them because they can't work a job and do what they need to do as a pastor. And so he'll try to help them financially. And so he'll try to raise money in the States for pastors to send. And their different churches will send money to support different national pastors. But it all goes through Brother Sidler. The national pastor does not come back to the States and raise money. They stay there, and so that's why he tries to help them. Now, he has faith promise in his church, and they make commitments, and he helps the national pastors out of the money, the faith promise money that they raise. And so that's he just tries to help them financially because you've got fellows. He's got a couple of fellows. One fellow, Fernando, that pastors a church in Vietnam, an area of Santo Domingo called Vietnam, and he's already started a couple of churches out of his church that he pastors. But there was a professional baseball team that wanted to sign him to come play baseball, but God called him to preach, and he told them he wouldn't even talk to him after that. And so, and then there was another fellow, Oliver, by the name of Oliver, pastors of church, same thing, professional baseball team wanted to, scout wanted to sign him. And so these fellows, when God calls them to preach, they make big decisions. And so Brother Sidler tries to help them to handle the thing. Of course, they don't need as much money to live on. They can live on the Dominican way of life. And so it's a little easier that way. But he helps them financially as much as he can.
What do they need per month, you think, to live?
Well, it would depend on where they live. If they live in the capital, they would need a little more. If they're out in the country, they would not need as much. I don't know exactly how they would need. If a pastor there, if one of those national pastors had $400 to $500 a month, he'd be fine living.
That's pretty good, isn't it? Now what's happening it's happening with Fernando, but it's also happened out of Steve's church. Steve has, what's his assistant pastor?
His assistant.
Leonardo. Leonardo, the men around that church are going a distance out and starting churches. And Leonardo is starting churches, but he wants to remain in that. He wants to start church and put a pastor in there. There's a couple of those guys. There's one fellow who used to be a bodyguard for one of the high high officials there in Santo Domingo.
Military, yeah.
Yeah, carried a gun. He always had a gun, but he wants to pastor. He wants to start a church, and they have walked out, had church in somebody's yard, and people come from everywhere, and a business owner see that they're having church and say, "Why don't you use my building?" And so Dominican Republic is wide open. It's wide open. That's why Dad puts a lot of interest in that, because it's wide open now. And you know, a third world country can change like that. But there's just so many. And I wish I could show them. I wish I could beam them down to Sunday evening service at Steve's one time.
Yeah.
And just see the people. Steve's building a building too, and expanding. He helps. He says he helps the preachers. He has. Of course, I've gone down a couple times. We preachers teach, and then he has a Bible Institute. He's having graduation soon, isn't he?
Last Sunday, graduation.
Graduation. So he graduates. They graduate, and that's where he starts training. He trains teens, as young teens, boys, and they wear ties and coats to church, and they help usher, and they help this, and they. He has a training for them and starts training them. That's where Al Oliver and Fernando got involved. I think Fernando surrendered at camp. I'm not sure.
He has a junior institute also.
Yeah.
They're each level is preparing for the next level. And he's just trying to train church planters and young ladies to marry preachers.
Yeah. Any other questions?
About what?
Family camp.
What about it?
James.
They have a family camp every summer, and that's where a lot of decisions are made, and that's a big thing for them. Yeah.
James went, and I think how many was a lot of people
say. Yeah.
Any other questions?
How has the last year pandemic has changed your travel?
Say, I can't hear you.
How has the pandemic affected your travel to the Dominican Republic and internationally?
Well, we couldn't go last year the way we normally go, so we just had to cancel it. Just couldn't. But it's opening up a little bit now. Hopefully, we can go this coming year. I try to go at least once a year, end of January, beginning of February, take pastors down to teach and preach.
Amen. Let's have a couple ushers. We're going to receive love offering real quick, and then we'll eat. Get a couple of ushers real quick. And if you think of a question while you're eating, get with Dad and ask questions. Mom can answer your questions. Let's pray for the offering. Brother Keyes, would you pray for us? Amen. So what we're going to do is we're going to pray, and we'll start heading back this way about 12:45. And I guess, is that clock right? Is it 12:15? 12:15. Anybody have your atomic watch on? 12:13. Okay, I'll pray for 2 minutes. So straight. Well, amen. Boy, this was a week, was it not? Tore up some places. Lost a young man in Rockville. I don't know if they found the person that was swept away. Was he deceased? Okay. So we lost two. Miss Creed and I rode through Annapolis where it was shut, where it hit for Annapolis there, and they showed you the main drag, but we went back past our cleaners and there was a church back there. The steeple was knocked off. People's yards were, I mean, it came right, and it's a concentrated Hispanic area back there. I mean, it tore trees were all over the place. It's amazing how that happened. And that boy, you know, one of the fellas down there in where the high school was hit, his house was on a cul-de-sac near there, South River. And the TV reporter said, "Well, what do you think about the house?" And he said, "Well, the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." And he said, "We're okay. We're okay." He said, "Well, what are you going to do now?" He said, "Well, we'll go someplace and the insurance company can take care of it." And just going and, but it just like that. Well, we just never know, do we? Never know. Well, let's pray and ask God's blessing on the food, or we're going to go. We already prayed, right? Okay. We already prayed. You did pray for the food, didn't you?
Yes, sir.
Okay. So we're going to eat. Listen, sit down. Sodas are out there. Sandwiches are out there. And take your time, fellowship a little bit. And we'll start moseying back here in about a half hour. Amen? You're dismissed.